From the heart of rural France, this is the Keto Woman podcast, brought to you by me. Hello, keto lovelies. I'm Daisy Brackenhall, and I've spent most of my life struggling with my weight and confidence, and have always had a difficult relationship with food. Even when I finally got to my target weight after weight loss surgery and eating low carb, I couldn't maintain it and I was miserable. I've been keto now for over 2 years and it has given me the freedom to fall in love with food again without the constant gain, loss, guilt, virtue cycle of before. Health and happiness is where it's at now, running on fat. Welcome to the Keto Woman podcast. Each week I'll be chatting to inspirational women, maybe even the odd man, to discover the secrets to their success so that I can share them with you. So what is keto? Keto is a way of eating that enables you to switch your body's main fuel source from sugar to fat. Who doesn't want to be a fat burner, right? But how do we achieve this? A great place to start is by keeping carbs under 20 grams a day. So things like leafy greens and above ground vegetables, plus some nuts and seeds and the incidental carbs you find in things like full fat dairy. Choose delicious fatty proteins and be free and easy with oily dressings on salad and butter on your veggies. Once you're in the swing of things, you can tweak it to suit you. Make your own personalized keto. You'll hear all sorts of ways to keto from my guests. There is no one way to do keto, no one size fits all. I hope to show you just how flexible and fabulous this way of eating can be. I'm not a doctor, and most of my guests won't be either, so we really can't give you medical advice. It's always best to consult your own doctor when making big changes to your diet and lifestyle, because they know you and your medical history, and so have access to the bigger picture. Wouldn't it be helpful to have one place where you could find all the links? Want to sign up to my new Patreon-exclusive Facebook group, Daisy's Lovelies? No problem. How about subscribing to my YouTube channel? Please help me notch up my first 1,000 subscribers by going to links.ketowomanpodcast.com and following the YouTube link. Not following me on Instagram yet? Hit the Instagram button. You get the idea. All the buttons, all the links you need are at links.ketowomanpodcast.com. Thank you, Debbie Gantz, for supporting me and this podcast by making a pledge at my Patreon page. Do you want to hear your name here at the top of the show? Are you enjoying this podcast and would like to help me make more episodes? Then head over to my Patreon page at patreon.com/ketowoman or hit the support button on the Keto Woman podcast website. It means a great deal to me and you will get to headline the show just like Debbie did today. Welcome back to the second part of our Hawaiian special and episode number 151 with Kevin, Amy and Brandy. If you haven't already listened, head back to last week's episode to catch the first part and find out more about Kevin and Amy. You might also want to catch up on episode number 122, which is Brandy's story. Let's jump straight back into the rest of our chat now and find out more about Hawaiian food and paying keto forward. Aloha! So it sounds like then that community is part and parcel.
Absolutely.
Right from the get-go. I mean, it's something that we talk about with keto is to find your tribe and find your community. And that is a really good support. But it sounds like in Hawaii, there's no going to find it. It's there from the get-go. It's part and parcel of the strategies and the life that you have to build if you're going to approach keto. It's not, you don't approach the food first and then find the community support. It's all interwoven right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. What's really worked really good for me is it was just the results. So I'm still posting, you know, tasty looking food pics, keto Kanak Attack pics. But I didn't really, you know, notice much of the results as much as my wife did. When you know, you're doing this constantly on a day-by-day basis and, you know, just concentrating yourself, it took for her to say, oh, you know, you gotta, let me take a picture of you with these, you know, these old clothes. I was very fortunate. I had a bunch of clothes that I bought were, you know, in pretty new, really nice, but I outgrew them. I got too heavy for them, so I stuck them in a back closet. And then I believe once I got to my 50-pound loss mark, you know, my wife said, no, you got to try these. Try them on. See if they fit. And they actually did, and I was like a giddy little schoolgirl with a new wardrobe. I was so happy. And then my wife took some pictures, and then she posted that online, and I didn't think anything much of it, but then a lot of people were making comments saying, wait, you know, you lost so much weight, you're looking great, you're looking younger. And I can't see that for myself, even though others did. So that's when they started asking, well, how did you do this? You know, how did you lose all this weight? Why are you looking so good? And you're still posting your food pics and everything, and they look really delicious. We noticed, you know, there's no rice or everything, you know, but it's still delicious looking food. And then that's when I believe on my part that they actually saw the results of what, you know, a keto lifestyle could do for you. Something that's sustainable, as Brandy always told me, and it's something that I could do long term and just make the little changes here and there in every meal. But it was something I could stick to, and I was just like blown away. Somebody made a comment today, and they started calling me slim, and I'm far from being slim, people, you know. But it was just, you know, kind of a nice thing, and I think that's also part of it, is just seeing the results of what, you know, being on keto can do for you. And not just the outside results of the weight, but, you know, it's the inside results.
That's also
I feel better.
Hawaii
I feel
thing.
So much better.
That's a Hawaii thing. Hawaii, it's really about being humble.
Yeah.
And not bragging.
Yeah. Yeah. We
and
didn't
not
tell
being
anybody,
aggressive.
Yeah.
It's a local cultural trait that you can't be aggressive and tell people what to do. You can't
you wanna
brag about what
aloha.
I got. So
share knowledge. Yeah.
So
share food.
Sharing. So what we had to do with, we never go out and tell people, oh, you should do keto or
no,
this is what I do.
Never did.
The only time we ever bring it up is if somebody asks us what we did. And then if you're interested, come and ask me more. And then we found that a lot of people, they come when they're ready.
Mm.
Just like
yes.
what Brandy told us, and we sat down and we had that meal. We weren't ready in October, but we were ready in January and February. You know, I had to think
yeah,
about it for a little while. On that,
planted the seeds there, right?
You have to be ready, don't you?
Yes.
And there's something I wanted to ask you, just going back to the community thing, that it struck me as you were talking. And it's a disparity I see between potentially, tell me if I'm wrong here, but it sounds like from what you were saying about get-togethers that you were going to and the people who were cooking made an effort because sharing food is so important and everyone being involved is so important. People who were preparing that food made a real effort to include foods that they knew that you could eat.
Yeah.
And this seems to be one of the big stumbling blocks that a lot of people have mm-hmm. is going to events like that and being worried that there won't be anything to eat and actually often coming up with almost hurdles that are, I don't want to say intentionally put there, but this kind of this pushback from the groups of people who are feeding you. Well, you know, we've prepared this for you. Why won't you eat it? Why won't you eat this carby food? We've gone to this effort. It just sounds like a kind of a different approach. It sounds
yes.
like the Hawaiian yeah. approach is very inclusive and thoughtful of the other people.
Interesting, yeah, right. It is.
Whereas others, potentially not quite so much. So see, these are the questions that seem to come up mm-hmm. in Facebook groups and things, the problems that people are bumping up against. That seems to be the opposite in Hawaii. If everyone adopted the Hawaiian approach, it sounds like people would not be having these problems, at least not so much.
I think that we're very lucky in our family because I think that it's an individual family thing. And I also do think that it is contributed to, I think that that family value is able to exist because it is also a cultural value and expectation. But when they talk about Auntie Yvonne, they're talking about my husband's mom, so my mother-in-law. And she has been over here several times in the last two and a half years since I started keto. And she pays attention. She makes me take her through a masterclass every time she's here to help her learn what keto is. She is one of the family cooks.
She is.
You know, she very much takes care of her family and loves her family with food. She's an excellent cook, and she will just do it, you know, oh my goodness. I wish I could show you pictures of some of our family holidays over there. It's ridiculous.
I probably have those pictures.
All of the animal kingdom is represented on that.
That's the way to put it.
Yeah.
And then, she's very nice about it, too. I mean, she only made just minor changes, though. Yeah. Like, they were having, you know, the steak and chicken and everything. And then she knew, you know, with the keto style, you know. So instead of everybody else having the rice, she made cauliflower rice. And she added something that tasted really good on it. And she had all these wonderful desserts, you know, and all the chocolates and cakes and everything. This awesome strawberry ganache chocolate thing. But she just saved a bunch of strawberries on the side to give us as our dessert. And that was, like, so perfect. So Auntie Yvonne's a place to go and gather.
But she's a tiny little lady.
Oh, she's so sweet.
She's
a big heart.
I think that she's maybe 5'1" and a tiny little, like, size 2, and there's nothing wrong with her metabolically. So she wasn't as interested in learning about keto for herself as she was in learning about keto to help support me.
You, right?
And then, now it has, now Amy and Kevin are on board. And so now she is supporting them. She's extraordinarily supportive. The whole family is. And that is something that can be found in Hawaii.
Kevin went to Father's Day. And Father's Day, Dad Bernie, he tried his best. He did feed him some
awesome steak, mushrooms, salad. But there was something that was in one of the salads, and I tasted it. I'm like, oh, this tastes more sugar than I really wouldn't be allowed. And what was it? It was a bunch of raisins added to it or something, honey? He tried really hard, and, you know, and it was just, you know, a minor amount, but, you know, of course I still wanted to enjoy it. And just the other day at my new job, a coworker had her birthday, and the boss actually brought in a cake. And everybody knows I'm on keto over there, but, you know, sometimes you got to enjoy life. So I said, okay, girl, this is going to be good luck for you, of course. So happy birthday. And I took a piece of cake, and I was at a way crazy sugar rush, but I was there to enjoy life, you know, and it's good luck to have I had a fork full of the cake, you know, and toss the rest of it. But she actually was very impressed with that, because she knows how hard I'm sticking to this and everything too. But it's enjoying life. And in Hawaii, when we do have a lot of these get-togethers, it is based around food and family and friends and fun. And a lot of the different foods they have there, though, you can find something that you can eat is just keto. You know, you have your pork, your beef, you know, your chicken, your fish. They always have kind of salad of some part. And, you know, just simple, like strawberries or something. And we're bringing, like, our own sparkling ice drinks on our own. You know, I had a couple just in case. But, local culture over here is really about sharing and sharing that aloha with others. So
it's also a compromise where we just don't expect everybody to feed us how we eat. Mm. We don't expect everybody to do keto. And I make no demands. We will mention it to somebody.
We never do. It's just like,
it's important
we'll
to mention it.
Find what we need. Yeah.
Because we don't want to offend, because that's the other problem. You can offend somebody by not eating their food.
Not eating. Correct.
And so I just say, I'm eating keto, but let me just see what I got here, you know, and make do with what you got. And then once they know what we're looking for, when you come back again, those foods will be waiting for you.
That's right.
You know, they get it. And it's not malicious, and everybody's nice about it, and we give it a try, and then everybody supports.
It's a very supportive community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's often people wonder about, well, you know, what am I going to eat? They're used to having a third of their plate filled with carbs. And they think, well, if I'm not going to be eating those, I'm going to need to replace them with something else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to a certain extent, you might. But actually, no, people sort of fail to get, and you start to realize once you eat keto, is those foods kind of make you hungrier and make you eat more of them, and you don't actually need them. And once you're used to not eating those foods, and you're used to just having the protein element and some greens or whatever it is, you don't actually need to replace that carbohydrate part of the plate. You can just remove it.
That's right.
Very true.
Yes. And we, you know, going back to kind of the dynamic within a shared food culture, you know, it seems like in some places there's almost a defensiveness, a self-protection that people will kind of fall under when they see you're eating a certain way and they're kind of still resisting that. Mm. They'll get, you know, defensive. But in Hawaii, or at the very least in our family, the whole point, the whole thing that brings you joy is to be collectively sharing in a meal with one another. And they don't ultimately care what is on your plate. They're not investigating what's on your plate. Their motivation is to make sure that you don't feel alienated and you don't feel kind of disenfranchised from that in any way. So people are going to bend over backwards to make sure that you are as included as you have always been, and that that doesn't change for you. Would you two say that's true?
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And not only they also want to make sure you eat as much as you can, you know, as much as you want to over there. And then at the very end of the night, everybody make a takeout plate or else, you know. So it's like, oh, I got all this veggies and meat. Sure, anybody else want? You know, I try to offer out first. But yeah, it's exactly true what you just said there, Brandy.
Mm-hmm. And I think that going back to the kind of sharing with keto, you know, I have been sharing keto with people for as long as I can remember even being on keto. From the moment I started experiencing outwardly visible results that other people could track, I was sharing about keto. And I have made mistakes in sharing about keto. And ultimately, it has resulted in nobody's frustration but my own. You want to shout from the rooftop. And when you have someone in your life that you love or that you care about that doesn't seem well to you, or just simply isn't well, and that's just a fact, it can be very easy to kind of want to flog them with keto and never let up. Well, that's a mistake. It's a pitfall, and it's a pitfall I have fallen into, because, you know, the fact is that I came to keto because of one person. She mentioned it to me a couple of times over a 5-year period. We've talked about this before, Daisy, that it took me 5 years from my introduction to keto to actually start keto. And it's because I was ready. And, you know, it took you guys less time to kind of go keto after you heard about it from me, Kevin and Amy.
October to January.
But you didn't do it until you were ready. And at some point for me, it became okay when people were interested in keto if they didn't jump right on it. That became okay to me. I recognized that that was normal and it was fine, and that some people were going to find their way to keto and some people weren't, and that was okay. So in terms of your own kind of pay it forward game, I think that you do have to do some thinking about and some accepting about what you can do for other people and what you can't do for other people. The people in my life who have adopted a ketogenic way of eating and have stuck with it are always the people who take the information from me and run with it their own selves.
Yep. Very true.
They are never the people that need me to tell them what they should eat every single day until they, you know, can't do it anymore.
That's so true. That's a really good point. Yes. Actually, somebody's got to want to make it their own. That's a really good sign that they're interested. I had a friend of mine who was, she was interested in it from the benefits, mainly weight loss was the reason she wanted to do it, and had seen my results and wanted to replicate that, but very much didn't want to think about it for herself. She actually not only wanted me to tell her what to eat, she offered to pay me to make and deliver her meals for 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just like, I can understand why, but ultimately it's not going to work.
Correct.
Because you're looking for a quick fix. You're looking for somebody else to kind of do it for you. And there's nothing actually wrong with that. But unless it's coming from inside, unless there's a spark in you, mm-hmm. that you're interested in this, but you, from the get-go, you want to make it work for you. I think that's the great sign. Mm-hmm. So if someone's asking those kind of questions, well, you know, the way I see you doing it, that's not really going to work for me, but how could I? Is there a way I could make it work for me? That's the kind of conversation that you can get going.
Yeah.
Because keto is not a magic pill.
That could ultimately work really well.
If you're just doing it to lose 30 pounds and then you're going to be done, you're going to gain all the way back. You have to change the way you eat and the way you buy food, the way you look at food and how you use food. And if you make those changes and embed them in your daily life, then it's not going to be an instant loss, but you'll be healthy and you'll stay healthy and it'll last long term. Anybody who wants you to give them a menu that they're going to follow for the next couple weeks to lose some weight, it's going to mean nothing in the end. Because there's no changes. You have to change yourself. Mm-hmm. You're just not going to eat this diet plan. And that's why I see a lot of those diet plans fail. And people say, oh, I did that diet plan, you know, and I lost some weight, but I gained it all back. Because you only followed it for that particular time. And as soon as you stopped, it was over. Mm. But keto's the same way. If you stop and you go back to the way you were eating before, you're just going to gain the weight back the same way you gained it the first time.
Right.
Yeah, you ladies are totally correct too, because I've been having a lot of people message me, you know, and they were asking me, you know, how I lost the weight. But then when I gave them, you know, the basics and everything, you know, it sounded more and more like they wanted me to spoon feed them, tell me what to do, what to this. And that's not part of it. I mean, it's the dedication and the time and effort you put in to the, not only just the research part, but sticking to it, you know, and coming up with and trial and error and finding what actually works for you. That I found to work. So I remember Brandy was saying, you know, a lot of people want you to tell them specifically what to do, but I don't got the time to do that. I'm trying to do this myself. I got a job, you know, I'm living here with my wife and everything, and all my free time is not easily given up to that. But the people that I have, you know, just given the basic info to and everything, you know, maybe about, I don't know, a half to a quarter of them followed through. And it hasn't been much. It's only been like about maybe 3 or 4 people. But yeah, some people, they don't want to, they want the easy way out. They want you to tell them what to do. So that's a big thing that you ladies are mentioning. I'm seeing myself, they want you to do it, but you basically got to do this for yourself and something, you know, to get
yourself
motivated.
I think it's that natural desire, isn't it, for a replicable formula.
Correct.
Yes. They've seen you have results.
Yes.
Right.
And what they want is for you to say, okay, you need to do
this,
A plus B plus C.
Correct.
And the result of that is going to be the same results that I had. Mm-hmm. That's a human nature kind of desire, and I completely understand that. It just doesn't work that way.
Right.
Here we are. Here are the building blocks.
Yes.
But we're all individual. And the way I put my building blocks together is almost certainly not going to work the same way for you. But here are the basic components. Here we are, throw them in the air.
Yeah, and catch them as you
are. And you have to catch them and put them together in a way that's going to work for you.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. Well, I look at it more as, because I'm a teacher of mine, you can give a lecture and the people walk out of the room and they'll remember some things and it's not really useful sometimes in the end. But instead, if you teach them those skills, those basic life skills, they can apply those skills for themselves and they can be successful. You cannot just, like you said, spoon feed. You cannot give them those recipes because they don't have the skills to survive, to make it to continue on with life. And so it's lifelong learners, as we always say in school, is that if you learn those skills and apply them to yourself, you'll see the long-term success.
Yeah.
A friend of mine and a repeat guest on the podcast, Chef Taffany Elrod, we were having a discussion. Brandy, I think you were part of that discussion where she was talking about the different directions she's taking her career. She's had a few things that have changed what's happening, and so she's really thinking about the direction she's going to go in. And the passion she has is teaching, and she was saying to us that the same things that we're saying, she says she wants to teach somebody how to cook. She doesn't want to teach them just how to make a recipe. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a big difference. She's all about teaching them, just as you were saying, teaching them the skills, teaching them the building blocks, teaching them all the things they need to know, okay, the vehicle for that are some recipes that are delicious that they make together and they share. But the process is what's important. They're teaching them the skills of how to make that, that they can then take and apply to whatever recipe they want in the future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very true.
And that's what's been happening, because for Brandy, for the last 6 months, I have just picked her mind and asked questions.
You're so smart, guys. We love you.
And I've taken everything that she's saying, and then I am applying and teaching my husband, and we're working together. And now I'm at that point where people are now coming to us and saying, what can we do? And I was like, well, let's, like even yesterday I said, well, why don't you start by looking at your recipe and doing the calculations to see how much carbs are really in that recipe? Not me telling them there's too many carbs, but you figure out how to do that so you can make those replacements. And once they have that skill, they can make their own recipe. And so that's how we're passing it on, is not telling people to do keto, is to say, here is how we did it. And here's how the skills I use to survive. Kevin will tell them, get yourself an app to monitor how much your carbs are, how much your macros are, and just start there just so you can learn yourself when you eat. And then come back and talk to me.
Mm-hmm. I like how we've gotten to this next phase already, where while we're still eating, we're still watching stuff on the Food Network, you know, foodies, you know, and it'd be something like the best things I ever ate, or Man versus Food or something. And me and my wife are like watching all these delicious foods all across America. And we both turn to each other and we're like, okay, so I know you're thinking about how you can convert that to a keto recipe now. And she said, oh yeah, I got this already. We substitute this type of almond flour or coconut flour for that base. Oh yeah, we could do that. And then, and I just like the fact that, you know, it's something that we're still sharing, we're still learning, but yet we're still like figuring out, like, you know, hey, that looks pretty tasty, you know, and how can we convert that to something that, you know, doesn't have all that processed sugar and all that other stuff we don't need or don't want anymore. And I like that part, that we still tag team together on a lot of stuff like that. And we're always picking Brandy's mind about stuff online. So
it's an important element, I think, actually, of keto is cooking, is learning basic cooking skills. Yes, of course, it is possible to do it very, very simply, even possible to do it just predominantly with takeout food, actually, if you're very careful about it. But developing some basic cooking skills.
That's a big thing.
So that you can put things together at home.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, I'm not talking about cordon bleu skills here. It's it is actually very basic skills. How to prepare basic bacon and eggs, basic a protein and some greens, a protein and some salad, whatever it is. We're not talking about really complex skills here, but I do think it's a part of it, is getting familiar with some of the skills of preparing and cooking food, and just gaining some confidence in the kitchen that you can throw something together, especially at the moment during COVID, where it's not at all easy to do anything but that. You know, most people are having to prepare their meals at home. So I should imagine it's been a good period, actually, where a lot of people have had to develop some crash course cooking skills.
I was going to bring that up because that's exactly what happened. I restocked the kitchen in February, because that's when I started. And so we spent 2 weekends cleaning out the kitchen. We donated a bunch of food and everything.
All the good stuff.
And then our island locked down, where we were even under a 72-hour curfew at one point, where you couldn't leave the house. Nobody on the entire island could leave the house. And because we had all of these ingredients in the kitchen, like, well, I'm going to start cooking, because we couldn't get food. You couldn't order food. You had to eat what you had in the pantry. And I told Brandy this, I really don't like cooking. I've never enjoyed it. My mom was an excellent cook, so I never learned. I had the basic skills. Like, I can do the eggs and, you know, I can make the basics, but cooking stuff from scratch was just something I'd never done. So I found the recipe, and then Kevin was such a great support, because he ate everything I put in front of him.
It was all so good, that's why.
But he was honest. He goes, I can really teach.
Maybe one thing.
I can really taste the stevia, that lemon chicken. That did not come out.
The a little bit too much zanthin on that one, right?
Yes. You know, but he was great, because I just had no idea what I was doing. Like, I had to learn how to use the Instapot, which I wasn't good at. I got an air fryer that Auntie Vaughn had given us for Christmas 2 years ago. I'm like, well, let's put
all
it to use.
All of a sudden, we used it. Yeah. It's like, wow, this is why we can use it.
But together, in 2 months, we learned, we just started off with really simple recipes. And we made it so we had a week's worth of recipes that we could kind of rotate. And then we started adding things in. But in the end, what happened was I really started to enjoy cooking. And Kevin's like, you don't have to cook if you don't want to, because he felt guilty. I'm like, no, I want to try this because I want to change this recipe and I want to try these different ingredients there. So now I'm at a point where I cook every night and it's no longer a chore. Mm.
And at first I was like, who are you, alien imposter? What did you do with my real wife? But I'm so glad you got into that part, honey.
He agreed. If I cooked, he washed all the dishes. And he washed every single dish.
I'm a cleaner. And you make a lot of dishes sometimes, but it's good. You know, you feed the machine will work. And the more work I do, the more weight I can lose.
So a lot of dishes comes from a lot of experimenting.
Like, your experiments are awesome.
But even just having to learn what to buy to put in the kitchen. Mm. And in Hawaii, it's so expensive. You don't just go to the store and purchase
a
pork butt because that is going to cost me $7 to $10, where it would cost me $2 to $3 somewhere. You know, it's because people ask, why is it so expensive? Every single thing is shipped to Hawaii.
Everything's shipped by a container out here.
Everything is shipped. They send milk, it's frozen on its way here. If they send bread, it's frozen. The vegetables we have, just because the limited amount of land, I've got a bag of groceries I had delivered. Just I'm trying to help support local farmers.
Local farming.
It cost me $35 for two zucchini, two cucumber, five tomatoes, and two bags of lettuce. It was $35 for that delivery to get fresh vegetables. But planning, and that was the other big thing, is planning out ahead of time a month's worth of food, because I have to buy the full steaks and cut them up and separately package them, and the pot roast separately package them so that we'd have like eight from them, just to bring down the cost of that. But doing that really taught me how to plan for keto, plan meals and get across. So COVID's really helped, because I don't want to go to the store. So I only go
it's
once if I really have
there.
To.
Mm.
Yes. And it's amazing what you can eke out if you, you know, if you've decided to only go shopping at certain intervals and that last day or two before you're due.
Yes.
For a supermarket run, it's like, okay, so there's a little bit of that and there's a little bit of this and I've got some things in the pantry and what can I make with that?
Yes, exactly.
And that's actually, it's such a great skill to have, to be able to throw something together that's edible and hopefully really tasty out of next to nothing. Mm-hmm. It's a great skill to have.
And I think that another thing about Hawaii that is interesting is that it is oftentimes, you know, Amy and Kevin were talking earlier about going out to eat a lot, that it's convenient, that it's, you know, another component to that, however, is that it's less expensive.
Oh, really?
Right.
Yes.
You know, in most places, you think, you know, buying your own groceries and cooking your own food is going to be the more economical choice over going out to eat. Mm. In restaurants, which have prepared your food for you. That is the exact opposite on Oahu.
Yes.
It is more economical most times to eat out of restaurants. And that has to do with the way that food is shipped in and for which markets they're most widely available. And so it can be, you know, a lot of people say, well, going keto is more expensive. And you have other people that will say, well, that's just not true, because you're not spending money in these areas. If you're, you know, if you're investing, you're investing it differently. Mm. It's not more expensive. Well, I would submit that it probably is a little more expensive. And I would submit that in Kevin and Amy's case, because they are in this very unique market and environment, that it is indeed more expensive. So you do have to negotiate that, and you have to figure out how to negotiate that. And it can be done. Obviously, it can be done. Kevin and Amy are doing it. There's lots and lots of other people that are doing it. But it is a consideration, and it is another thing that can be hard when we're looking at reasons why somebody may not be kind of bringing it all the way. And we might have feelings of disappointment because they're not adapting as well as we would hope they would. especially if they're living in Hawaii, they are negotiating even added stressors, or, you know, they're mitigating additional things that we, I did not have to worry about my food becoming so much more expensive the way that Amy and Kevin did. And I was able to kind of ease into choices to spend more money than I did before. But that was in terms of, okay, well, now I'm going to think about where I source my meats from.
Right.
Now I'm going to think about where I source, how are these animals being raised? How are these vegetables and plant products being grown? Where are they grown? Where are they shipped in from? What's their footprint? It was a bigger consideration. And we have in Washington State, in my area of Washington State specifically, we have a large availability of food. We have a lot of food choices. I'm able to choose to spend a lot of money or not. And I can keto cheap or I can keto expensive. Amy and Kevin, they will keto more expensively than me. It's not a choice. Mm. They don't get to, you know, it's not a matter of, well, you know, I'm not going to buy that grass-fed beef this week because the price is too high. The price is high. Where it doesn't matter if it's grass-fed or grain-fed. In Hawaii, the price is high. So they are, people in Hawaii are negotiating food prices that can be prohibitive. And that is a real hurdle. It is reasonable that people think about it and might choose, you know, might feel like they have to choose to make accommodations to their budget.
Yes. And when it comes to being on a tight budget, that of course is where carbohydrates,
that's right,
come in. That's correct. Why they're a staple is because they're bulky and they're cheap. And anyone who's grown up in a household where the budget is tight knows about that, knows that the meat was the small part on the plate because that was the expensive bit. And the big area of the plate was the cheap carby staple and some vegetables.
Yeah, rice or potatoes.
So it quite often dictates what goes on the plate by the budget you have to spend. Mm-hmm. And I've done a few experiments with playing around with budget to see how low I could go. And I need to revisit that and sort it out and do it properly. Because I have a theory that there is definitely a threshold that it's almost impossible to do keto below a certain threshold when it comes to budget. Unless you can jump straight into something like fasting. But mostly people can't do that. Fasting is usually something that comes a bit later. That's obviously a way to save a lot of money. You know, I've noticed that with bringing in a fasting routine over the last weeks and months. Wow. My food bill has gone down because I'm not eating as much food. I'm not having to spend as much money on food. So that's a great way to lower your budget. But it's not an easy thing to do from the get-go. So it is very difficult, and I want to look a lot more into that, finding what that threshold is. Because a lot of people are at or below that threshold. So it's all very well talking about keto is a great way to improve your health. This is something maybe that, you know, you should be doing. You should be thinking more about your health. It's all very well to say that. It's not necessarily always possible. So that's always something that I have ticking over in my mind.
It just depends where you are too. In June, for 6 weeks, I was on the East Coast in the United States. I was helping out on the educational program. So Kevin was at home in Hawaii and I flew there. And that was our first time being separated and trying to figure out if we could do keto without each other. Because we were so used to...
We survived.
We were, you know, and I had to leave recipes for Kevin, and then when I got there, I had to stock a whole brand new kitchen in my studio apartment. And I had to quarantine for 14 days when I got there. And I couldn't believe the difference in food cost. I paid double for the exact same food in Hawaii as I was paying at the high-end shopping where I was at that moment. And people are like, I can't believe you're shopping there. I'm like, what are you talking? It's half of what I just paid it for at home. They're like, oh, you can go to the other store to be so much cheaper. And I'm like, yeah, but they deliver and it's half the cost of that. You know, and also I think what you eat will determine the cost too. It's crazy, but a can of Spam in Hawaii is a lot more expensive than it is in Minnesota, where it originates.
Where they make it.
There are certain things within a diet that cost more. But Hawaii, you get really good fresh fish that are available. But vegetables, you're not going to get fresh vegetables at a cheap price here ever, just because of that. And so it depends what you're making, not just where you're at. Mm-hmm.
But then again, too, though, it's not that expensive sometimes. So with me, and I recently started a new job. With my old job, you know, I used to go out and for lunchtime, and I'd be spending $13 to $16 for a plate lunch. And then with the new job and with my wifey's awesome assistance, she is able to make me a huge salad and different types of salads every day, a Cobb salad, a antipasto salad, a broccoli salad. So the salads are not as expensive as the usual $15, $16 that I was spending. But yeah, she buys mostly all of our food, and she would know better on how much those cost. But I think just me having to switch on what I'm able to get for lunch, it actually helped us a little bit. Or maybe we're saving money at lunch and we're spending more for dinner, I'm thinking. So, but those are all great points, ladies. Yeah, the cost. But the other thing, too, I wanted to point out, when I started with the keto lifestyle, I thought I'd be limited with the type of foods that I'd be eating over and over again as the days went on, as the weeks went on, as the months went on. But actually, and as my wife is always laughing, it's like you got these same food groups, but it's just different combinations. You put them together to create a whole new dish. Mm. So I'm actually blown away and impressed that, you know, my wife's still putting together new recipes, new flavors, new things, and it's still keeping us in ketosis. I think that's another big thing that is really great with this lifestyle, is there's a lot more variety of food that you can have that I ever thought would be possible when I first came on board. I thought I'd have to eat the same thing, a salad all the time, you know, or veggies all the time. But no, it's the right variety of food. And it goes back to, you know, learning those building blocks of what you could create and put together. So, but once again, I just eat what she makes and she tells me to. So thanks, honey. Once again, just so stoked and blessed. And I'm a firm believer, things happen for a reason. And I think we were meant to spend that time with you, and then what we went through. And even at this time, you know, with COVID and us having to stay at home and make our own foods, and seeing how this affects the heavier folks, especially the Hawaiian population, who, you know, are more prone to being heavy and everything. You are a lifesaver. So you're representing very well, girl. Keep on going, and hopefully we can keep picking your brain, because your knowledge is so awesome. I mean, you still inspire us every time. So,
well, I appreciate
that. What about you, wifey?
I am so thankful. Well, I tease Brandy, I call her my guru. You know, and as people ask me questions, I'm like, you know, I don't know that answer. Let me ask my guru.
Tag in Brandy. We tag in Brandy all the time.
Well, I appreciate that, you guys. I started my blog and my Facebook page only because, you know, I just really felt like the people in my life were getting sick of keto always being the topic of conversation if I was around. And I didn't want to constantly inundate people with something that I was talking about a lot. It was exciting to me.
I could see why.
You know, you were talking about Kevin being severely obese. Well, I was morbidly. Thank you very much. Yeah. you know, so it's exciting. You know, it was exciting for me. And so, you know, I started this blog, and people do indeed follow it. And the people that I intended to reach are following it. And that is my friends and family and people that I actually know. And I am able to watch this thing grow with people that I know. I was involved in online communities, the ketogenic forums, different Facebook groups, and kind of virtual communities around keto. But when I started my blog, it started to make an impact in people's lives that I knew. I was seeing the direct result in my circle of, you know, of friends. Not only was that very rewarding for me to start to see that happen, but I was able to recognize it as a responsibility for me to find a way that I could express and inspire, or that I could make an impact based on my skill set. My deal is that I can cook and I can write. So the best way for me to share my experience is to maybe put up a blog and write and cook. Mm. Kevin, you're doing, you know, a lot of the Instagramming, and you guys started a great Facebook kind of Hawaii keto group on Facebook, right? You guys have already got a ton of members, and you guys are very good at it. It flows very naturally. The way you interact with the people who are on your group is really natural. Even when new people join your group, you guys come on every day and welcome those people by name. That's a skill. I'm just rambling.
No, that's awesome. I never even thought, you know. Yeah, yes, that is true. So
yes.
You inspired both of us, and we decided to pay it forward too. So a lot of people were individually messaging us and asking us questions. And then last weekend, my wife created this whole Keto Kanak Attack Facebook group. And I'm so glad you joined in, because with your knowledge, like Amy said, you know, if we don't know something, we just put tagging in Brandy, and you come up with the most awesome info that is inspiring all these other people too. So yeah, we're still basically beginners, but we felt like it was something that is so beneficial to us, especially for our health and what's going on right now, you know, with the pandemic and everything, that it's an honor to be able to pay this forward, to share this aloha and share this knowledge with others. And glad, you know, my wife, she's my little computer tech. She put all this group together, and, you know, we're just doing our own little thing. But yeah, I'm very honored that we could pay it forward, and we're getting some people involved now. And this other guy, he actually shot me a text. He's another fellow Hawaiian, and he was one of the people that asked me questions about, you know, keto before. And I didn't think, you know, he was that interested. I just gave him the basic blocks, you know, and didn't think I'd ever hear from him again. And his name's Ikaika, and he actually jumped into our Facebook group, and he just started inviting all these people that we don't know. He shot me a message today just when I was going to message him, saying, you know, hey, thank you for inviting all these people. And he messaged me, you know, I hope that's okay and everything. But very proud Hawaiian. He spoke that it is for us to learn together and do things the old Hawaiian way. No one should be living the way they introduce sugars to our Hawaiian people. It has left us high diabetic issues as a people. But imagine if we all take our health back in a very humble and inventional way. Oh man, we can share so much aloha to the world. He loves to learn so he can help pass it on to the next generation. He loves God and his family and to help raise us. And he was just so thankful and said that this is the beginning. And, you know, I was telling him, man, you know, just like Brandy, you're one of the founding members of that group. Because with just me being, you know, showing that it can work and posting, you know, some local food pics. And my wife, she's making some awesome recipes. And Brandy, you're like a recipe and knowledge queen. And he's just like spreading the word. He initially shot us and he said, so inspired. He's on fire. So that already impacted somebody else to, he's wanting to spread this knowledge and pay it forward to others. So just wanted to say, you know, thank you to all three of you ladies for, you know, getting us to this point where we can pay it forward and help others out. Cause that's what I've always been loving, you know, about being Hawaiian, is helping others, you know, doing good for others. And especially in this time, right now, I think it's really important to do so. So,
right.
Yeah. So just want to say thanks. Love you.
Oh, we love you too, Kevin.
How about you, Amy? Amy, you had anything?
I think you said everything.
Oh, sorry. Portuguese. Okay. So I talk a lot too.
No, right. I just want to say that watching it go from Brandy to Kevin to another friend who is just starting, and he's so excited and so thankful. And, you know, he's soaking in everything that's there, because at that moment he's watching, and one thing he said is that he let everybody know is that he was so proud of what Kevin had done and saw the evidence over it from when he was January. He's been following him since January, what's happening, and now he's ready to go. He's been inspired, and that's where it is. He's ready now, and if he's ready, it's just a perfect time to just now, let's start putting some recipes out there. Here's possible things you can have, here's what to do, and he's bringing other people in with him, And that's how it works. It goes from one to another. It's not something that you pay for, that you have to buy. It's really just knowledge shared by all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I think you find over time in your group, Kevin and Amy, that I have found to be absolutely...
Our group.
that I have found to be absolutely true on my page, as well as when I'm, you know, talking to people, is that you start out talking about keto for the excitement that you feel about the changes in your life and you want that for other people. It evolves into figuring out how you're going to conduct your own style of outreach or activism around it, whether it's a blog or a page or a podcast, Daisy. And that becomes rewarding when you see people's lives changing for the better, and is further rewarding when you know that you have been a part of that, that you've played a part and made a contribution. Any kind of contribution is meaningful. But ultimately, you get to the point that people interacting with you actually serve to inspire you to keep going.
Mm. Correct.
So I may have paid it forward to you, Kevin and Amy, but in less than a year, in just over 6 months, in fact, you guys have turned around and paid that back to me, because it really does reinvigorate my, you know, desire to keep doing this and to keep getting after it. And to keep, you know, after, you know, I was heavy enough and have experienced enough kind of stressors in my life over the last 2.5 years that I still have weight to lose. And I have been in a weight loss stall for quite a long time now, almost a year, but I haven't gained.
That's a good thing.
Daisy and I have talked about this before. I'm, you know, through everything that, you know, we've been through as a world, our circumstances that we're finding right now, I haven't gained. So, you know, so, but the point is that it's not all just fun and games all of the time. It's not always great results. You can get discouraged, especially after a number of years. It's just amazing when you get to the point that your outreach and the ways in which you've tried to pay it forward pay you back and really just reinvigorate you. And that's exactly what happens. You know, it is not a one-way road. You are constantly receiving real material benefit for yourself when you are involving yourself and, you know, giving people information and contributing in any way that seems best and most appropriate for you personally.
It's a great point, actually, to also to remember that it's not just your responsibility to pay it forward. I think people can sometimes become a bit overwhelmed with that. If they know that they've been an example for other people, it can sometimes weigh a bit heavily if they're experiencing some problems. And the weight of that, you feel that responsibility, you know, you're the one that inspired somebody. So you have to keep, you have to maintain that. You have to maintain some kind of mythical level of perfection. So I think it's worth remembering that you still need to accept help from others. And like you were saying, it's not a one-way street. It ebbs and it flows in both directions.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And you're right, Daisy. It can seem like, and I do think that this is a position that we potentially put ourselves in, but it can feel like you're suddenly in a position that you're under a lot of pressure to always be representing that success, you know, the weight loss success, the health turnaround success. And the fact is that sometimes a good portion of a whole year can feel pretty junky. You know, and so, you know, we're not just taking on the responsibility of getting information out there. We are building a community in which we are interdependent, and we do get back after we've served and offered and contributed. We will get that back in return to help, you know, keep us going.
True.
Well, it's been fantastic sharing some time with all of you. I've learned a lot. It's been really interesting. It's been really great fun.
This has been nice. Thank you.
So I wonder if we could wrap up in the customary fashion, which is for all of you to leave a top tip. I don't know who wants to go first.
I'd like to go first because I don't want everybody to steal mine because it's the only one I had to. With keto, you got to remember that it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You know, you're not trying to get to that finish line immediately. You want these to be life long-term changes that you can do gradually. And it's going to take some work, but anything that's worth it in life is worth working for. So it's not a sprint. Go for the marathon. That's all I have.
Fantastic.
And share aloha. Sorry if I took yours, honey.
Yes, you came pretty close. The problem is
I came up with that.
We think too much alike sometimes. It's kind of scary on a person. I think I mentioned earlier, keto is not a magic pill to fix problems instantly. It's something that is just a change of how you eat, a change in learning the skills to remain healthy. It's not about losing all the weight. It's about changing your insides and your goals.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
I guess for me, what I'm thinking about tonight is, you know, we are currently in a situation where diabetes is a problem. It has been a problem. And now we're kind of living in a COVID world as well. And we know that those two things can complicate one another, you know, to the point that our chance of survival is, I guess diabetes is something that is insidious and will kill you, but it does it over time. It's a slow killer. Mm. Now we've got COVID that will kind of attack a person with a disease such as diabetes, and it can feel really immediate. You can see the ravages of it very immediately. And so now is a great time, as Amy has demonstrated, for those of us who have metabolic illness to start to try to fix our metabolisms and to really get into the process. And Amy has proven in real time that you don't have to have started in order to see real benefit. You can start now. It's never too late to get started and really climb on board, I guess.
That's good.
Yeah, it's definitely something that sort of kicked my ass into gear. I was, you know, not exactly off keto, but on and off a bit, having problems with my mood, which often gets wrapped up in food. And certainly when this all started, it was a bit of a wake up call. And this is the perfect time to, yes, get your ass back into gear, young lady, and get yourself as healthy as you can, because ultimately, that's the best preventative measure we have. It's the best means of attack we have to protect us against COVID. So
that's right.
Yep.
It really is. Like especially you say, now. And there is no bad time to start. You know, why not start today?
And I think something is starting now. What most people have found is they've been locked in the house for so long that they're gaining weight. Mm. We see the depression and the refrigerators there, and they're either going to have to start now or they're going to find problems a couple months down the road where they're not going to be able to turn back very easily. Our joking meme that we've been following along the whole time. And it's for me and Kevin's moms. It said, at the end of this, we're either going to come out a hunk, chunk, or drunk. And our job,
the choice is yours. The choice is yours.
We've been going on. It's like, okay, we may not be hunky, but you know, we're still going to give it our best try, because a lot of people are losing their health because of what's happening right now and not being able to do what they're normally doing. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people who have approached us, it's because they've put on 10 pounds.
A lot of weight, stress eating, a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. It's very stressful times.
Yeah, I think that's true. And it is actually something that I think that the two of you should be commended for, because you guys aren't in this place where this is just old hat. You're still very much in the stages that you're adopting this as your lifestyle for forever. But in probably Daisy's mind, I'm a real newbie. And in my mind, you guys are real newbies, right? You're new to this and you're still figuring it out. But you guys have figured this out and kept great attitudes, despite the fact that we are essentially locked out of 60% at least of our typical way of living.
Yeah.
You know, our access to things and our access to other people and our access to basic goods and services has all been altered. And people are depressed and they're gaining a bunch of weight. We're all struggling through this. Yet here you guys come like it's any other day. And I think in the last 7 months, you've lost over 100 pounds between you, right?
I've lost a little more than 50 and Kevin's lost
71
in a COVID world.
Wow. Fantastic.
In a COVID world.
Yeah. Mm. You guys are awesome.
Very blessed. Very blessed. Things happen for a reason. So once again, thank you, ladies. Love and aloha to you, all three of you. You guys really still inspire me.
I wanted to ask you, actually, the meaning of that word. I sense there's quite a depth of meaning to aloha.
From what I know, aloha is hello. Aloha could mean goodbye. Aloha means love. Mm-hmm. So living aloha is sharing that love to others, paying it forward. But that's just my take on it. Brandy, Amy, what do you guys think?
No, you got it. You got it. That's exactly right.
Oh, nice.
I sense there was a bit more depth to it. You know, I think of it as a greeting, but it sounded like there was a bit more to it.
Feeling.
And there it is. What you're thinking is the aloha spirit. Mm-hmm. Mm. It can be a greeting, but living aloha spirit and live aloha was a saying that went by. It's that kindness to one another, caring for one another, taking care of one another. What we're talking about in our world where we should respect and take care in our community. And so that aloha spirit lives with a group of people that form this bond together, this understanding of caring. Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be Hawaiian to be sharing love and aloha. Mm-hmm. It's just you individually making that choice mm-hmm. to help others, to pay it forward, to do the right thing, even when it's the hardest thing in the world to do, to stay in aloha and share that aloha. So yeah, it works for everything.
Yeah.
I have so much aloha for you ladies.
Have aloha for you
and everybody
cousin.
Out there listening to this.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the perfect place to finish on that note. That sounds like we all need to embrace the Hawaiian aloha. It's certainly something that I'm going to take forward with me. So thank you so much for spending this time with me. It's been a very great pleasure.
Oh, the honor is all ours. Thank you so much. Aloha, everybody.
Aloha.
Thanks, Daisy, for inviting us.
Thank you.
Welcome. To get the resources and links from this show, please go to ketowomenpodcast.com/episodes. Please share this podcast with as many people as possible by sharing one of my links or just taking a screenshot of an episode that you enjoyed. Reviews really help raise the profile of the podcast, which gets it in front of more people, but also helps me attract a wide variety of guests. So please take a minute to leave a review on whichever podcast app or platform you like to listen on. It doesn't go unnoticed by me, the people who regularly like, share and comment on my posts. Your support really does mean the world to me. Thank you. Are you enjoying this podcast? Help me make more episodes and videos by making a pledge at my Patreon page, patreon.com/ketowomen. Or simply hit the support button on the Keto Woman Podcast website. Don't forget to join in the fun on the Keto Woman Podcast Instagram and Facebook pages and Daisy_KetoWoman on Twitter. Are you my next extraordinary woman? Maybe you've got an idea for a show, a topic you would like to hear about. Let me know how I can tickle your earbuds by dropping me a line at daisy@ketowomenpodcast.com. This week's end quote is from one of my niece's favourite films, Lilo and Stitch. Ohana means family, and family means no one gets left behind. Bye-bye, keto lovelies.